add it all up, and consumers are not as jolly about their confidence in the economy. And that made the news. It's the Business News headlines for Tuesday, the 24th day of September. Thanks again for coming by. Heard of the repo market? Well, we're not talking about cars. Something totally different. You will hear about that today. The wealth tax and Senator Bernie Sanders is a hot topic. Big Pharma doesn't want to jeopardize their pricing for drugs, so they're spending millions to fight it. Those stories and more. Plus, in for the interview is Mac Kiernan from the production company called CLE. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. Grateful that you have clicked by again today. By the way, you want to reach us on Twitter, you can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. So if you take escalating trade tensions, mix in a bit of a tight job market, add stagnant wages, and you've got what was handed to us this morning. According to the privately run conference board, the Consumer Confidence Index fell to a three-month low of 125.1 this month. That was 134.2 back in August. Now, sure, the Fed did cut interest rates, something that we were told would supercharge the economy. And sure, a massive tax cut happened that we were told would supercharge the economy. The trade war with China was supposed to supercharge the economy. And you put it all together and consumers are feeling a little wary. What's kept the U.S. economy steaming ahead is robust household spending added by the strongest job market in decades. Now, to be sure, consumer confidence is still quite high by historical standards, but if it continues to erode, the economy could be in trouble. One of the things most folks don't know about is something called the repo market. Now, it's not about repossessing cars, but it is about short-term funding that banks and financial counterparties regularly tap to lend each other trillions of dollars. It's also called the overnight market. Well, the repo financial system is back in the news this week. Why? Because it's looking a bunch like it did just before the 2007 housing market crash. Just this week, the Fed injected hundreds of billions of dollars into the repo market to stabilize it. Now, the repo market seized up last week, with median repurchase rates skyrocketing from their usual band of 2 to 2.25% to 2.4% on Monday and 5.2% on Tuesday. Now, keep in mind, that's the median rate. Some repo rates were as high as 9%, more than quadruple the Federal Reserve's own target rate, which usually puts a cap on how high Treasury repo rates could climb. Then several things happened, including an exceptionally large demand for cash from U.S. companies that needed to pay their corporate bills. That sucked a lot of available cash out of the financial markets. What happened last week was any counterparty in need of cash and only holding collateral like treasuries agreed to pay the much higher going repo rates. That's supply and demand, plain and simple, and it mirrors what happened in certain repo markets in 2007 before the housing crash and the Great Recession that followed. So the Fed started shoving money into the repo market at a tune of $75 billion a day starting last Friday. Put otherwise, the Fed is kind of back where it was roughly a decade ago, effectively buying U.S. treasuries from banks on an indefinite basis. But the difference this time? Well, there's no financial crisis in sight, just the uncomfortable fact that private capital markets once again need public support. Concern? Perhaps. Stay tuned. Well, today, Bernie Sanders unveiled a proposal for a wealth tax that takes Elizabeth Warren's signature idea and pushes it even further, saying his goal is to cut American billionaires' fortunes in half over the next 15 years. Sanders announced the proposal while campaigning in Iowa counties that voted for Barack Obama in 2012 before switching to Donald Trump in 2016. Sanders, what he's calling the extreme wealth tax, targets the top 0.1% of U.S. households and would raise an estimated $4.3 trillion over the next decade. The revenue would be used to pay for his programs like Medicare for All, universal child care, and housing programs. In a statement out today, Senator Sanders said, quote, "Enough is enough. We are going to take the billionaire class, substantially reduce wealth inequality in America, and stop our democracy from turning into a corrupt oligarchy," end quote. Economists for the Sanders campaign estimate that the wealth tax, had it been enacted back in 1982, the total wealth of the Forbes 400 richest Americans would be 40% of what it currently is, and they would have a net worth of about $3 billion on average. Instead, the average is now $7.2 billion, which the most wealthiest families held last year. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that pharmaceutical industry trade organizations and outside groups are spending millions of dollars on advertisements attacking proposals which would peg drug prices in the United States to prices paid overseas and force companies to pay rebates if a drug's price increases by more than the rate of inflation. For instance, one trade group's radio ad decries, quote, "Foreign price controls are being imposed by European bureaucrats," end quote. Industry executives and lobbyists are urging friendly lawmakers to pass legislation blocking the plans. They're also pushing administration officials to pursue measures that would pressure industry middle people, such as pharmacy benefit managers, to provide some relief on patients' costs without directly curbing drug makers' pricing power. The pricing proposals, if enacted, would reduce company sales by billions of dollars. That's what analysts say. The industry is trying to hold off passage of the plans it opposes through the end of this year because they say it's doubtful that Congress would act in an election year. Yet, drug makers don't have the political clout they used to, largely because of rising public dismay over high drug prices. Even some Republicans who typically have been more sympathetic to the industry have joined criticism of high prices. Google won a major case in the European Union today when the bloc's top court ruled that the U.S. internet giant doesn't have to extend the EU's right-to-be-forgotten rules to its search engines outside of that region. This case stems from a 2014 ruling that said people have the right to control what appears when their name is searched online. They can ask Google, for example, to remove a link. The French privacy regulator then wanted that rule applied to all of Google's domains, even outside of the European Union, and asked the EU's top court for advice. The European Court of Justice said today there is no obligation under EU law for a search engine operator to extend the rule beyond the EU states. Shares of Netflix dropped by nearly 4% today and are on track for their deepest quarterly decline in 7 years after two analysts added to growing worries about an impending wave of competition from Walt Disney and other rivals. Netflix has lost about 30% since the end of June, and if that decline holds until Monday, it will have been the worst quarterly performance for the video streaming heavyweight shares since 2012. Upcoming streaming services from Walt Disney and Apple have added to worries about Netflix slowing subscriber growth and rising costs as it increases spending to create top-tier series like Stranger Things and The Crown. And finally, there is this. This year's second biggest IPO suggests there is still a healthy appetite for beer. Anheuser-Busch InBev, which makes Budweiser and Stella Artois, has priced the initial public offering for its Asia business at $3.44 a share. That raises about $5 billion from the sale. The world's largest brewer was initially seeking closer to $10 billion earlier this summer before shelving its IPO plans, but its revival will still be a big boost for Hong Kong's stock exchange. Uber's IPO is expected to be 2019's biggest at $8.1 billion. Coming up next, a conversation with Matt Kiernan. He's the director of strategic development for a company called CLE, Central Lighting and Equipment. What do they do? Come back, learn more from Matt Kiernan. It's coming up next.